The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, your show about paranormal and all that other exciting, crazy stuff. I'm your host, Chauncey, and this is my co-host, Sean.
How are you doing, Sean? Pretty good.
Yeah, you know, it's been a hot week.
Ugh.
Yeah, you love it?
No.
No, I hate it.
That's the totality of my response to that. It's just, ugh.
It is apocalyptic out there, you know.
Oh, I know.
And my poor little plants, man, they're just getting cooked.
Oh, your survivalist garden.
Yeah.
Yeah. How will you prepare for every apocalypse?
Are you going to mock?
Except the one that's most likely, where temperatures rise out of control and all your plants die.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, global warming's a myth.
Oh, okay. Good. Good. We're going there.
Maybe that was dry land. I'm not sure. Dry land might be a myth.
Mark Levin was on earlier. This is not Mark Levin.
Oh, well, yeah.
So, it's okay for it to not be a myth.
I'm going to throw this out there. Global warming is happening.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
It's hot.
Yeah, you know? It's very hot.
I don't know. It's, you know, it just ain't right. It
I
ain't
was
right.
Reading that book the other day from, by the other day, I mean like a couple of months ago, so now I can't remember the author, but it's the one where it goes through degree by degree, you know, what global warming would look like.
Oh,
from
right.
1 degree Celsius to 6 degrees Celsius.
Right.
And, you know, the plants don't grow or anything at, like, 6 degrees Celsius. The last time the world was that hot, it was just, everything was desert, basically.
Right.
Except for a few isolated patches of area. And it was like,
yeah, well,
it's worse than people think.
So, my wife is a hobbit, you know.
You're going to have to explain that.
She's like a person-sized hobbit. So basically, in The Hobbit, or in Lord of the Rings, they're describing like what a hobbit is like. And
she lives in a hole in the ground?
No, they like good drink and good food, and they're happiest with their hands in the dirt because they're gardening. And that's pretty much my wife. She likes to, you know, eat good food, she likes to drink good drink, and she likes to garden. And so we're buying all of these plants that are, like, drought-resistant and, like, cactuses. And some of the cactuses are getting cooked. And I guess my other funny thing is my daughter.
Cactuses.
This will be my reminder to my wife, if you're listening. Remember, Terry, if Harley pots her cactus, you're supposed to videotape it because I want to see Harley pot her cactus. Because she's a competent 17-year-old, but she's still a 17-year-old that's never potted a cactus, so this should be interesting.
That is true. It is notorious for being covered in spikes.
Oh, yeah. She spiked herself several times on the way out of the store with the thing. You know, so.
Oh, God.
So.
Oh, my. Yes, I would also like to see footage of this.
Oh, yeah.
We'll put it up on the Radio Wasteland page.
Right. Terry, plug Harley's ears. Yes, it's going up on Radio Wasteland. Absolutely.
That's
so anything else
true.
New and exciting happened to you this week?
Oh, no, not really, you know. I mean, on the hot subject, everything was on fire a little while ago, roundabouts where I live.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't evacuated or anything, but it's kind of a wonder that house is still standing. Whole neighborhood, really, because of how many close calls there have been.
Yeah, it
is. It's just like, this month, everything catches on fire. That's just the way it is in summer. I don't know. It's crazy.
I guess for those of you that are listening from around the world, I'm sure you've already watched the news, at least here in the United States. And last year, California had the worst fire season on record ever.
And I'm sure we'll top it this year.
And we've already topped it for the time frame that we're in, you know, expecting it even worse.
I did not know that.
You know? So, yeah, we're all going H-E double hockey sticks.
Right.
So
that's fun.
Yeah, that is fun. Yeah, for me, this week, I'd have to say nothing too exciting. I'm trying to keep my eye on the ball, trying to, you know, get my stuff done.
Are you meditating?
No. No, I'm not. I try, but I can never remember to.
Right. Know. Meditation is supposed to help with that.
Yeah, I know.
You need to become really good at meditation so that you can remember to meditate.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I'm kind of a scatterbrain, and like I take medication for being a scatterbrain, but I always forget to take my medication.
Your meditation medication.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, how are you supposed to do this? You
know? I don't know. I think, you know, it's a concept that arose in a time when people did not have the internet in their pockets all the time. So there were probably fewer distractions.
Yeah, but I didn't grow up in that world. You're a digital native, but I'm not.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. We're all addicted.
I guess so.
Presumably.
I mean, I work.
I don't know. I feel like it does things to your attention span, but...
I work at the stupid computer. When I'm done working, I really don't like to hang out at the thing.
That's fair.
You know, it's like, I could probably do better marketing for this show and my other show and stuff like that, but really I can't handle more than one or two nights a week paying attention to social media because, like,
it's too much like your job.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, that makes sense.
You know, it's like I grew up drawing. Like, I always wanted to draw comic books and... Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. And, you know, I'm a competent drawer.
Artist?
I don't know. Seems really presumptuous to throw that
yeah,
out
let's
there.
Call you a drawer.
Yeah. But, you know, I can draw a person pretty well, cartoon style. And I can draw a background pretty well, cartoon style. I just have a hard time putting the two together. But I guess my point is that, like, I've been offered jobs throughout the years where I would be an artist.
Uh-huh.
And I could never do it because I'm just all like...
It would ruin your enjoyment.
Yeah, here I got this hobby, and now you want to tell me what to do so I won't have this hobby any longer.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
Yeah.
I can see the dilemma there.
Well, this world, you know, I guess we're digressing from nothing, but my
this whole segment is a digression, just yeah, a long, totally. Long digression. It's all good.
Yeah, it's degrading. Like, the world will have you think that, you know, just do what you love and you'll get paid for it. Mm-hmm. And we'll all succeed. But unfortunately, we all want to be rap stars. And there can only be so many rap stars in the world.
Right.
You know, so that's not necessarily the case. So I tell my kids, the best thing in the world, of course, is do what you love and get paid for it. But running a very close second is do what you're good at so that you can afford to do what you love when you're off work. So that's my advice to everyone.
Yeah, I think that's what most people settle for, to be honest.
Well, I don't even think they settle that far.
Particularly attainable.
Yeah, totally.
No, you're probably right.
I'm the world's most kick-ass burger flipper. You know. All right, so tonight on the show, speaking of burgers.
This has nothing to do with burgers. Well, but
rare ones it does. We have we're dealing with vampires, real-life vampires here on the show tonight. And you know,
my friends from the vampire community.
Yeah, this is an interesting
topic
for me.
Happily agreed to come on and set the record straight.
Set the record straight.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do they... See, these are some of my questions. Do they feel that the world, due to Hollywood, like earlier on the Radio Wasteland Facebook page, we had a post up about, like, the most powerful vampires, and I'm just all like, man, there are some stupid vampires on this thing, because media has thrown us some really
lame
ones.
I think it's safe to say going into this interview that, like, fiction has pretty much nothing to do with real life except for the blood drinking bit.
Well, I'm sure there's some crossover, and we're going to get to the bottom of that.
All right. Well, now we'll know.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come on back, we got Kat and Aldrich. And we're going to find out about vampires.
Thank you. Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your security tip of the day. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. Many people hang around to investigate what may be a crime only to become a victim themselves because they confront a violent criminal. Leave the area and call your local law enforcement agency immediately. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
Canada has now weaponized the sexual revolution with a 7-2 decision in her Supreme Court that forces a Christian university to adopt the court's version of what is moral and ethical or suffer loss of accreditation. This is a significant blow to religious freedom in Canada.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
The world is a vampire. Sent to J.A.A. Secret Destroyer.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. And we are dealing with vampirism. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Vampirism.
Vampirism?
Vampirism.
Vampirism.
I guess. I don't know. I'm no expert.
You're not?
No.
Aren't you a part of this community?
Yes. Okay, I am an expert. Fine. I am an expert, but I feel like, I don't know, our listeners get enough of my perspective on everything that happens. So right. Let's get a fresh take here.
I think we have Kat with us now.
You also have me.
Kat, yeah. Do we have you there with us?
Yes, you do.
All right.
Yay.
Well, I think we're waiting for Aldrich to come in, but why don't we start with you? You know, normally at the start of the show, when I have a guest on, I ask them how they get started in this sort of thing, but this
it
is one of those things.
It doesn't necessarily apply.
Right. So I guess I'm going to just straight up ask the question that a lot of people are probably wanting to know, and is this, first off, is this mental or is it physiological?
I'm going to go with physiological. There are some that believe it is mental.
Okay. So this helps me ask my initial question, and that is, like, how does this start for someone when they're coming of age? You know, it's like, is this something that is needed when they're a child? Obviously, parents are, you know, saying, you know, stop sucking the blood out of your friend. You know, So
what's your story?
Yeah. So how does this start? How does this come about? How does one realize that they need this?
Well, for me, it's not so much as realizes that I was actually born with congenital esotropia of both eyes. I was born legally blind. And so I didn't really humanize people at that point. And so during my youth, I would harm my siblings, adults, and my colleagues, or those they would have been peers at that time.
I see. So I assume that this was an issue with your parents.
Yes. And my school did put me into a social adjustment class, which nowadays with sensitivity and diction choice, it would have been considered an empathy class.
I see. Because you felt, or the situation was that you weren't connecting or like you said, humanizing other people. And so what's, I guess I'm a little skipping ahead here. What's your relationship now like with your parents and these siblings? Do they have more of an understanding of that situation, or did that cause permanent rifts?
I'd say it did cause permanent rifts. My sister, that does have two daughters, refuses to let me be a godparent.
Oh. Well, that's terrible. I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't mean to ask difficult questions. I'm just trying to, you know, understand what it's like to really sort of come to terms with this and put it out there. So when did you decide that this was not a mental problem, that this was actually something and something that you needed to take care of consistently?
Considering English is not my first language, so I apologize. I'd say the fact that you get massive amounts of headaches, you get exceedingly lethargic, and there always seems to be one thing that always solves that problem and allows you to be able to process, to be able to think, to be able to have that social interaction without that constant clawing at the back of your mind.
Yeah, but in this world that we live in, I guess what I'm trying to ask is, in this world that we live in, like I've never drank a cup of blood, so like if I was feeling terrible and blood would fix that, I would never know that because I was never given that. So how did you get to the point where you said, yes, blood is, that you got to the point where you were just, blood is what I need, blood fixes my problem?
For me, I don't know if it's the same for everyone, but for me, it's always been a constant. Like, whenever I was little and I was blind, my sisters were just a sound, my parents were just a sound, and I would harm them without thinking about what actions I was doing. They just provided a release for me.
I see. And so since then, do you feel that you have been able to connect with people and humanize people and have friendships and stuff like that?
Yes, I've actually become a whole-rounded person, so I'm not a monster, if that's of any consolation.
Well, you know, I obviously don't think so, but that is so I guess my next question is to Aldrich. Are you there with us, Aldrich?
I believe I am. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, that's
hear
awesome.
You. Yeah, perfect.
There we go.
So the questions that I was asking Kat was basically like,
yes, because you have a pretty different story on this. Yes.
Yeah. How does one figure out that they need this? You know, how did you start as a child and through to adulthood figuring out that you needed this?
All right. Well, mine is quite different from Kat's. I started around puberty. You know, you're growing up, you hit puberty, you start growing hair in funny places, your voice starts dropping in different ways. But most people don't tell you, and I never learned it in health class, why do I want to hurt people? I didn't really understand it at first, heightened aggression and whatnot. And trying to be a good person, a moral person, it always turned inwards. So with that, I would resort to self-harm. But I found that with self-harm, cutting in particular, I actually found some relief whenever I drank my own blood. Now, it wasn't a lot.
Right, of course.
And it was never amazing. It's like, oh my God, my head just stops.
Right.
But, you know, at one point I did bite other people, and it's in the community, that's always frowned upon, but a lot of us have done it. Right. And I found relief that way. But I found that as I got older, I was able to control it more. But then symptoms started kind of cropping up. Headaches, lethargy, general just sluggishness for the most part. But, you know, that's the way it is.
I see. So once you realized that you were this way, you know, was it difficult to put the label of vampire on it?
Well, at the time, I had no idea. I mean, vampire, that I was a kid, that vampire was, oh my gosh, that's a thing in a movie. That's a thing in a book. That's not what I am. I'm not undead. I didn't die. I still got a heartbeat. But, you know, when I was about 17, 18 years old, got online, started researching the symptoms, and, you know, I came across a lot of stuff, but the whole vampire community at the time was just kind of starting to get off the ground. Mind you, this was still 2004, 2005, so.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know.
But there was an online presence back then.
Renfield syndrome. Say that again, Sean?
But there was an online presence back then.
Yes,
that was just sort of
most definitely
getting
was.
Going.
I think a lot of it started in the early 90s, even, you know, back when the internet first started, there was a community that was starting to form.
Mm-hmm. And so maybe the label of vampire kind of comes from the community more than, you know.
Than
that being a perfectly descriptive label of the situation.
Yeah, that's what I was really wondering. Is vampire, you know, is that really a retronym or a term that was sort of like just kind of adopted because, hey, we're close? Or is that something that people in the community really feel that they are and that movies and pop culture have gotten wrong and that the community has right? Or is it something that movies and pop culture had come up with and that the community adopted?
That's a loaded question. It's kind of a loaded question. I'll give my take. Kat has a different one on this one.
Okay.
But, you know, back in the day, vampire was the word that fit. Now it's sanguinarian or psychic vampire. But a lot of us do not like the name vampire because it's not what we are.
Because it carries Bram Stoker and thing after that, connotations that
Harry
don't
Charlie,
really apply.
Bram Stoker, Elizabeth Bathory.
Right.
Yeah. Kat, she'll talk your ear off about it.
Well, let's hear it, Kat. What do you think about the term? Do you feel that it's an accurate term to use?
I don't think it's an accurate term to use, personally, but it's like an umbrella term, though, that some people use as a window to get in and to be able to find others and maybe communicate with them. I understand that myths are created through the word of mouth, and we all know how the telephone game works and how maybe there was people that in our same situation back in the eons ago or whatever decade you want to put it in, or century. Mm-hmm. But there was no doctor to actually solve or answer for this. And so if you get religious people constantly making different stories, you get monsters and creepy things.
Right. I mean, throughout history, we have all sorts of people being, you know, demonized for things that today we don't really think are much big deal. Hey, we're coming up here on our first commercial break. You're listening to Kat and Aldrich here on Radio Wasteland. We're learning about vampires. And maybe vampire isn't the right word. And come on back.
Oh, sweet thing, Zion doesn't love you. Babylon don't love you. But you love America don't love you.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Spring is springing, the trees are leafing, the birds are chirping, and temperatures are on the rise. So, your heater's probably the last thing on your mind, right? Fact is, right now is the perfect time to prepare for next winter. Through June 8th, SSD Oil is offering 20% off maintenance and 10% off parts with an additional 5% discount for our veterans. SST Oil Services Monitor and Toyotomi brands of heaters and water heaters. When you call SST at 241-1167, ask about early bird discounts on kerosene May through July. SST Oil on Windham Lane in Redding, 530-241-1167.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
NHL star Matt Martin for American Humane.
Hi, I'm Matt Martin, and in all my years of playing professional hockey, I've gotten my share of bruises and injuries. But for many who really put their lives on the line every day, it's not always the injuries you can see that hurt the most. I'm talking about our veterans. Every single day, 184 veterans are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress, and tragically, 20 take their own lives. When medications and therapy don't help, professionally trained service dogs can. American Humane, serving the U.S. military for over 100 years, has put together a free guide to help veterans obtain these life-saving service animals. If you are a veteran or know a veteran struggling with PTS, please go to AmericanHumane.org for this free, downloadable resource. Let's give our veterans the help they need to win their battle.
For more information, visit AmericanHumane.org.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guests, Kath and Aldrich, and we're talking about vampirism. But so what is the term that you do prefer? What in the case, now I understand that there are different types of vampires in the sense that they're psychic and stuff like that, but in the case of drinking blood, what is the term that you guys really feel does apply?
Kath?
Sanguinarian or sanguivore?
Sanguinarian or sanguivore. Sanguine meaning blood, and vorarian meaning eating it.
Vor eating, or arian as person.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so this leads to probably the other common question that you guys always get, I'm sure, and that is, you know, where do you find this blood? You know, where are you getting this from?
I think pick it up from your local blood shop.
Well, I think Andrea posted something funny on Andrea posted something funny on Facebook this week about trying to donate blood, but then had to walk away because people kept asking her where she got it. You know. So, you know, where do you get it?
Well,
from people.
Well, yeah, I figured it's from people, but you know, so
hamburgers are from cows.
So I guess my question is, do you get it from other vampires or do you get it from people who are not vampires?
Typically you get it from non-vampiric persons.
And is there,
we call them donors.
And is there a difference in the blood?
You know, are you talking about, like, between two individuals or between, like, vampire and non-vampire?
Between vampire and non-vampire.
Haven't tasted any other vampires.
Oh, I see.
Can't tell you.
Huh. Interesting.
But between two people, there definitely is a difference in taste,
yes.
Yeah.
There is.
Depending on diet and so forth.
So what is the draw to people who are not vampires to surrender their blood to be drank by vampires?
Kat, you have more experience with this.
Oh, gosh. I was going to say, most of the time, if I was to ask them that question, it's usually on a benevolent factor. They sympathize or they empathize, and they want to feel as if they're contributing in some way. And usually, for me, I will peruse my friends and drop those hints and wait for them to ask the right question. And once they ask the right question, that usually means that they already have deduced the answer. And so that means that they're more than likely comfortable with the answer. And at that point, they're trying to be a good friend. But I also try to keep it in that friend boundaries, because if you let feeding go into a different direction, it can lead to problems.
Because I would imagine that there's a fair amount of fetishism out there on the donor level. And so is that something that you look for, or is that something that you try to avoid?
It's more something you have to contend with, I think.
For me, it's something I try to avoid, because I'd rather keep it on a more clinical and professional level, professional is probably not the right word, but
no, I get
not in a lover or a bedroom type scene. That's no.
Right, I see what you're saying. What about you, Aldrich? You know, how does that tend to work for you?
I have to look long and hard.
You haven't fed in quite some time, yes.
It's been a while for me.
Well,
sometimes
I think
it's almost a question of morals versus what I can get.
Right.
But in this case, it's mostly I can't find any open-minded people.
Well, you do live in Indiana.
Huh? Yeah, I do.
You know, this is probably a little bit of a taboo thing to say, but it seems to me with the fetishism involved and the possible sexual overtones, now I understand that in your case, Kat, that you try to avoid a lot of this, but I don't know how to say this, but it, I imagine, would be more difficult for a man than a woman.
I don't know, maybe.
I assume so.
Yeah.
You know, have you found that that's the case?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not surprised because, you know, that's just kind of the world that we live in at this point. You know, it's getting better, but slowly.
And sometimes you just have to roll with it.
Right. So, you know, in talking to Sean about this, he says that it's a big online community and that you find it online, you know, can people mail you blood? Well, I don't know. That's not ridiculous.
You don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that. Okay. I mean, I order plants through the mail. I order food through the mail, so I didn't know if that was a possibility.
The thing is that you don't usually share donors. You don't want to do that because you don't know if the other person's donors have been tested and if they're safe or where the blood has come from. There's two variables that are just not nice. No.
Right. Yeah, that was definitely going to be one of my questions. Like, is there a fear of disease or cleanliness involved in this?
Yeah, well, you have to be very careful about that.
Definitely on the cleanliness factor because, you know, people do mail blood for clinical purposes, but there's a lot of regulation that goes involved with that to keep it at certain temperatures and, you know, stored properly in the proper containers. And if somebody's just trying to mail you blood, there's a lot of things that could go wrong, even if they're using, like, blood tubes that have anticoagulants in them. You know, there's chances that it wasn't stored at the proper temperature, and there's a whole list of variables that could go wrong.
Right, right. That makes sense. So, you know, a prime question that I really want to know here, and we discussed a little bit in the last segment, was, you know, where did the myth end and where did reality start on this one? And so that's really what I'd like to know. It's like, other than a need slash desire for blood, is there anything else that makes somebody who's vampiric different than a regular person?
In my experience, no.
So you would say you are just like anybody else in this world, only you need that. So it's similar to, I'm not making a direct comparison, just a hypothetical one to iron deficiency or something like that. This is just something that you need in order to be a healthy person.
Yes.
Yeah. Would you agree with that, Kat?
Healthy functioning person, yes.
Right.
Okay. Functioning person, yeah. That's always a good one.
Well, I mean, how many of us are really that? Yeah, maybe I need blood. I don't know, because I'm not sure about my health or my functioning. You know, because we have had guests on this show before. We've done one other show about vampires, and they had very different answers than the ones that you guys are saying. Now, they weren't saying that they were flying around at night and that they can't be touched by the sun or anything like that. But they did feel that they had stronger immune systems from drinking blood, like getting sick, wasn't it, that he hadn't gotten sick?
Yes, well, one of the vampires said that they had not gotten sick since they started drinking blood and claimed to be somewhat stronger than normal, which I understand is kind of a... There's, like, sort of a debate to some degree about that in the vampire community, but it's...
Stronger than normal.
Yeah, kind of a fringy thing.
Well, that's one thing that Cyrus and I were talking with another youth in one of the community, is that sometimes some people will try to make placebos or try to associate something for that something else that it's not. Mm-hmm. So it'd be like, I'm a ginger. It'd be like me saying, me going outside is going to burn me. Well, no. I'm a ginger, so yes, the sun is going to hurt.
Because you
but
are
I'm
very
not going
fair
to.
Skin.
I'm not going to blame that on vampirism.
Right. I mean, obviously, you know, if vampirism is the case, there, I'm sure, are black vampires.
Yeah, probably. There are.
Yeah.
Right. So ginger would not be a factor, nor would. So
some
where
people.
Are there any parts of the vampire myth that hold true to it, or is it really just sort of the imaginations of people over the years that are really sort of coming up with this stuff, and really none of it holds true?
I would say not really. I'd say different allergies are different for different people. Like some people are allergic to apples. Somebody maybe was allergic to garlic back in the day, but that could be just an unknown variable, and you never know.
Actually, one of the very few other sanguivores I've ever met was allergic to garlic.
Oh, that's funny.
But you're not.
No. Oh. I love garlic. I eat pizza every day.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
That would be the real tragedy of vampirism.
Totally.
Yeah. What do you eat?
Right. So I guess the question would come up, if you didn't eat, let's say you spent your entire life as somebody who needed blood but never got it, would it kill you?
No. Though you're probably going to be one of those people that is currently in the hospital every other week for this or that. And the doctor's going to be like, you're a hypochondriac. There's nothing wrong with you, but there is.
I see. All right,
I
mean, well,
I get to the point where I'm exceedingly weak and to the point that I struggle sometimes to breathe. But I've gone to many doctors. I have clear lungs. I have everything's fine. My chest has been x-rayed. Nothing's wrong with me, but it's like I can't.
All right. Well, we're coming up on our next commercial break. We got a lot more questions for you when we come back about the vampire community and the different types of vampires that are out there. You're listening to Aldrich and Kat here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
is Carl on the Bot, and there's only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
My mom loves shopping at Orchard Nutrition Center. Her motto, you are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. She says that all the time. Mom loves all the local veggies. And Dad, he likes meat. Orchard carries locally grown, 100% grass-fed beef. Dad's even eating healthy, and he doesn't even know it. If you haven't been to Orchard Nutrition, you owe it to yourself and the ones you love. It all starts at Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week.
Hi, this is Connor Sutton. Join me Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for my all-new sports show where I discuss local, regional, and even national stories, as well as bring on guests with incredible sports knowledge. So join us Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for Sports Talk with Connor Sutton, the only local sports show in Reading.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Reading. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
This is Carl Bott. Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at estategranite.com.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We're talking with Kat and Aldrich about vampirism. In the prior segments, we talked about sort of the awakening and realizing what you were and how you did it. And, you know, after that, finding donors and how that goes about. Now I'd like to know a little bit about the vampire community. You guys were talking about how it started in the 90s.
Or at least the online bit did, yeah.
Yeah. Good, because my question was going to be, what was the community like, and you guys probably aren't old enough to know, but maybe you've heard stories, what was a community like prior to the internet? Was it, did it take the collective group of people to understand what it was that was happening to them, or is this something that people have known prior to that?
It's definitely something people have known prior to it, but there was... It was probably diagnosed more as some type of schizophrenia or something, or people just kept quiet about it. And I know some of the ones I've spoken to, they embraced it as much as possible, and people just thought they were weird.
Yeah, well, I mean, that tends to be the case with most of us who have any sort of weird interest, which I personally have my own collection of. So there's this movie. One of my weird interests is I am a hardcore horror movie fan. And there's this horror movie called Martin by George Romero. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, but I'm going to run it down for our audience. And that is that this guy is convinced that he's a vampire. And he goes around and he holds people down, you know, kidnaps them, knocks them out, and uses his syringe and takes their blood and then drinks their blood. But the stinger is, not only does he feel that he's a vampire, there is another guy that believes he's a vampire, that is a vampire slayer, that is hunting this guy, trying to basically stake him through the heart. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous, but, I mean, there are a lot of crazy people in this world. I was driving down the road the other day. I saw some guy with a huge sign on the side of the road talking about how Jews did 9/11 and stuff like that. Do you guys have any fear that there's some crazy out there that's really going to potentially try to hurt you?
Oh, my.
I know it sounds ridiculous, but I mean, there are a lot of crazies
out
there.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. There used to be. Back when Buffy was very popular, we would run into supposed hunters.
That's murder.
Yeah, so do you feel that they were role-playing, or do you think they were serious?
I think they were...
Maybe both.
Harsh, maybe, yeah, a little bit of both.
Yeah. Well, crazy. Well, I know...
I did not know that.
Yeah, I know it sounds like a crazy question, but I mean, you know, look at some of the people out there and what they believe and what they try to do to one another. And I saw this as being a possibility, you know, especially with... extreme religious views and stuff like that, yeah. You know, that maybe there was that. Okay, so in the vampire community, there are multiple types of vampires. Can one of you run those down for us?
Oh, my.
Oh, okay. My.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to throw this out there that I'm known as the sledgehammer. I will bring Thor's hammer down, so to speak. We have the Thanes, or the Otherkin, which are people who believe they are the reincarnation of vampires, which they might as well be, as we like to call, vapes. People who run around in capes and whatnot and believe that they are this or that. But those people also can also identify as Scooby-Doo, so.
Huh. Okay, so I take it you're viewing that one as maybe a little bit more of a mental illness.
Yes.
Okay.
But then you have the Lifestylers, who... will like to play around with the variables, but that's all they are, is they come in and out of that style of life. Then you have your psychic vampires, who believe that they can send out tendrils of energy and siphon. I'm not a psychic vampire, so I can't really give you the full scope of this, but that's what I've read about. And I'm like, personally, I'm a sanguinivore, so the medsangs, we like to try to take a more medical approach to the vampirism. And so, to me, that's more like a belief, not something that's tangible for me personally.
I see. And what about you, Aldrich? Anything to add to that? Or?
Well, I'm surprised that Kat didn't go as much sledgehammer as she normally does.
Keep it a PC for the radio, Kat.
Worrying about offending all the psychic vampires who might be listening. No.
Yeah, and, you know, I talk to these people, too, and, you know, they're okay, but as sanguinarians, sanguivores, we tend to look for our own space, because for the past, well, ever since I've been a part of this community, there's always been a squabble between the psychics and the sangs.
I see.
And it's like, I'm more legitimate than you. Real vampires do this. It's very childish.
And the funny thing is that with the Thaeans, with the Lifestylers, with the psychics, when you try to go and seek out a medical professional to actually try to get, let's say, results, with all of the rest of the irrational side of things, it's sometimes a difficult challenge.
Yeah, coming from, you know, my angle, which would be somebody that this is very new to, and, you know, somebody who thinks very scientifically, it seems to me, or at least tries to, I don't want to toot my own horn there, it seems to me like if psychic vampirism is real, that we're all some degree of that, and we would choose to not be that. Because, I mean, you know... I have dated, and I'm sure a lot of people who have dated me might accuse one another of being psychic vampires. I know it sounds ridiculous, but seriously. You know, if that's a thing, it seems like we would all be sort of feeding off of one another in either a good or a bad way. So I can see where that becomes a very, very gray area as to the reality of, and is that a vampirism or not?
And apparently there's also different levels or different types of psychic vampires. So you have, like, your Tarnarik, which is, like, your succubuses. You have your elementals. You have all kinds of different types. I don't know them all, but...
I see. Okay, well, we're coming up on the end of the show here. So, you know, maybe for our listeners, you can tell them some places, if they feel that they are this and need to find out more or get involved in something, can you share with us some places where they could go to do that?
Oh, most definitely. It is kind of a closed community and you have to get in, but if you're feeling like you may be experiencing something similar to what we're dealing with, the vcmb.org is kind of where I got my start. It's attached to sanguinarius.org. It's a pretty good website to, you know, just start reading through whenever you, if you feel like something is going on. There are others out there as well. I think Sphinx Cat has a webpage. I think it's sphinxcatvp.org. Don't quote me on that. And there are a whole list of other sites that can be quite useful as well.
And I guess my other question while talking about this definitely made me wonder, like, how should a parent deal with a kid who's having these feelings? You know, send them online to look at this? Or, I mean, what advice would you give to that? Because most parents would be like, you know, what do I do with this?
My parents struggled with that, but making sure that they understand the ramifications of the actions and that just to be a person to another person and never self-diagnose. That is the dangerous, ugly, dark tunnel. Always seek a doctor and make sure that whatever you're exhibiting lines up before you... Yeah, make connections.
I see what you're saying. All right, well, thank you guys very much for being on the show. It's been very interesting, and, you know, I really enjoy how sort of straightforward you guys are, very, for lack of a better word, probably more normal than a lot of our listeners would have expected from this.
Probably more normal than most of the people we have on the show, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, very, very down to earth, and I really appreciate you guys sharing your guys' stories with us. All right, you've been listening to Cad and Aldrich here on Radio Wasteland. Thanks for checking us out.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco & Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco & Brew opens 7.